Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Get Notified.
KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed on this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. For more information about this show or other programs on KUCI, please log on to KUCI.org for the latest program schedule.
You're listening to Get Notified. My name is Ryan Folland, and I go by DJ Ginger MC. And today I'm joined with a special guest and then three in-house guests, and we're going to talk about communication, specifically the five stupidities of the English language. And I'm really, really excited about this because things that excite me have to do with language. And then when you tell me that we're talking about stuff that's stupid, I double down and I get really amped up. So, Heron, are you here with us right now after our little break from our announcement?
Yes, I'm still here.
Still here. Excellent. Okay, and where in the world are you calling us from today?
Garden Grove.
Awesome. Well, we are here broadcasting live in Irvine and around the world. And let's talk real quick about your background, and then we'll do a little roll call to people here in studio. But you had a couple instances in your life that impacted the way you really looked at language, and that influenced a lot of things. Is that correct?
It changed everything.
Everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
A couple of times, yeah.
Everything a couple of times. So tell us what happened. How did you become the expert on, you call it the language machine, which I love. We're going to talk about.
Well, first of all, I'm an expert.
Okay.
And, it all goes back to 1967. I was living in Manhattan Beach, a wonderful place to live in the beginnings of the hippie era. And I smoked cigarettes at the time. I got up one morning and walked down to the liquor store down by the pier. And as I was walking into the store, the most beautiful woman in the tiniest bikini I think I've ever seen walked in just ahead of me. And I was sort of entranced. I found myself just sort of following her around. And she turned around and gave me a really dirty look. And then I came to my senses, and I was standing next to a used book rack. So I reached over and grabbed a book off the rack without even looking at the title. I just wanted something to look like I was doing something.
A good fake out.
And then I ended. I'm sorry, go ahead.
A good fake out, like your classic,
What are good books? But books are good for. I mean, that's about the best thing they're for. At that time in my life, I was more interested in cars and television and girls than I was in books. So in any case, the next thing I followed her around some more, looking over the book, and then I found myself at the cash register, and there were two cash registers. She was at one, and I was at the other one, and the guy says, "Is that all?" And then I came to my senses again, and by that time she had gone, and so I bought the book and my cigarettes and went home and threw the book in the trash can. It was 10 cents used book. But apparently I missed the trash can, and I don't know, a week later, a month later, apparently my television broke or something, because I can't imagine why I would have ever read a book. But in any case, for some reason I found the book and started reading it, and very shortly, I don't remember exactly how long it was, but an hour or two into it, I came to this blinding realization that everything I knew was wrong. That basically I'd just been sold a story as a child when I was too young to evaluate anything about what's real, what's not, what you can do, what you can't, blah, blah, blah. And that whole thing just got blown away in a matter of 5 seconds. And I never really recovered from that. From that moment on, I was started trying to figure out what's going on here.
Wow, what a colorful story, and what a fun story. It just goes to show the power of storytelling. I mean, you have me, and then, the book's thrown away, but maybe the book wasn't thrown away, and the TV and all that action. It just goes to show how powerful storytelling really is. And again, something as simple as somebody who catches your attention can make you do something that then affects the rest of your life. Well, let's do a little bit of roll call here in studio. We've got a couple people that are going to be chirping in throughout. So we have Kevin from Zotspeak Toastmasters. He is into the language here. Kevin, introduce yourself.
Hello, hello. Kevin Bossemeyer from Zotspeak Toastmasters here on campus. And we meet every Tuesday in Aldridge Hall in room 107 for an hour. It's a great public speaking leadership forum.
Very cool. And then we have an intern.
Yes.
Ashwan, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. Good morning. I'm mentee of KUCI training, Sean Zhang.
All right. So what kind of radio show are you going to put together? Are you going to do music or talk show?
A talk show.
A talk show. Okay. What kind of talk show?
Like public affairs.
Public affairs. Okay. And then we have Dash here, who is the queen bee of tweeting, live tweeting during the show. How are you doing, Dash?
Doing well, Ryan. Good morning.
Excellent.
I've actually had a very similar moment about language and decided to devote my life to critical theory, so I'm excited to have you on the show here.
Awesome. See that? It's amazing. Writing is not dead, okay, at all. It is not dead, and books can still change lives. So let's dig into this. From you having your life changed by this book, I feel like we could talk 45 minutes about that change, and we'll sort of weave that into what we're talking about, right? But the topic today, which I think would be really fun to pepper through over the next 40, 50 minutes, is this idea of the stupidities, the five stupidities of the English language. So let's maybe go through them one at a time, and we can sort of have a back and forth discussion on it. But this show is about social media. And I believe that language and communication is essentially very parallel when it comes to offline communication and online communication. So, Heron, are you into social media at all? Can we find you online or anything?
Well, I'm on Facebook, and I'm around.
Okay, you're around. So, do you see a real parallel between the English language that we use in spoken form and the English language we use on online and social media?
Yeah. Well, it's the same language.
But
it's the same language machine in your head. And actually, I'm more although what you're talking about is really important. What I'm primarily concerned with is the internal monologue. Language is not primarily or only a communication tool. It's also, and primarily, it's the way we conceive of our own world. It's our internal mapping of our experience and the story that we come up with that defines our life. So I'm really sort of more interested in the internal monologue, and the outward speaking like we're doing now is really just an outward extension of the internal monologue, and the repercussions of a defective internal monologue are what I'm interested in.
And that's a really interesting point, because we all have this voice inside of our head, essentially, right? And the voice, the thoughts that we have and the words that we choose are then transcribed onto paper or onto social media platforms or verbally. But you're saying the magic is really in analyzing behind the scenes what happens with language before it actually comes out. Your tweet, when you're thinking about it versus when you're actually tweeting about it, correct?
Well, like I say, and you brought it up, you've got this internal monologue that's going on. Most of the time, it's not connected to your mouth. You know, it's just an internal. And if you pay attention to it, you see how crazy it really is. I mean, it's totally ungrammatical and very strange. But, and then once in a while, we connect it up to our mouth or to text or something like that. But, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to dig into the five stupidities and I love the way you talk about the language engine or the language motor.
What language is it? Language machine.
The language machine. All right, so let's dive into the first English language stupidity, and we can weave in all kinds of talk about our internal talk and how that goes out to the world.
Let me. Rather, I'd like to start with a little story. It's the same thing that you heard on that on the podcast about the surgeon. It only takes a minute, and it really brings the point home. Can I do that?
This is your show, buddy. This is not my show anymore. It's yours. Okay, here we go.
All right. So here we go. This is a little riddle.
And actually, we're going to do this. We're going to ask Ashwan. So Ashwan, imagine he's talking directly to you here, okay?
Okay.
And everybody else can listen in. Okay.
Well, and everybody else can imagine that I'm talking directly to them, and they can consider the possibilities when I ask the question at the end of it.
Okay.
It's pretty simple. A man and his son were coming home from a soccer game one Saturday afternoon, and they were involved in a head-on collision. And the father was killed instantly. And the son was taken to an emergency room and wheeled up into the operating room. The surgeon walked in, took one look at the kid, and said, "I can't operate on him. That's my son." So, now, a lot of people have heard this little story before, but most people haven't.
Okay, so...
So the question is that story okay? Is there anything wrong with that story?
Ashwan, what's going on with that story?
It's okay, like, they are both in the hospital.
Right, but...
They took the kid to the hospital, the surgeon walked in, said, "I can't operate on him, that's my son."
But the son was in a car accident with his father. So, Ashwan, what's going on there? He's got his hand on his forehead. That's okay.
Yeah, that's typical. Don't feel bad.
I've
told this story to probably tens of thousands of people over the last 40 years, and I think two people actually got it right, and one of them was a 10-year-old.
Okay, hold on. Dash has raised her hand. Dash, you want to chirp in? What do you think's happening here?
Gay couple.
Okay, that's a good guess.
Yeah, well, see, that wasn't a possibility when I first came up with this story. That's a new one. You're right. That's a possibility.
That's
not what's going on here.
Kevin, you want to take a guess?
You know, I've heard this story, and I don't remember the answer.
Okay. Kevin?
Yeah, and that's common, too. A lot of people have heard this before, and it still stumps them.
You should see every single person in here. They just have this like baffled look on their face, and I imagine everybody that's listening does as well.
I will say, for Ashwan, it's like even when English is your first language, trying to get your head around it, it's like wow. For English as a second language, it would be like wow, wow, wow. So
all right.
Well, actually, people who speak English as a second language probably, depending upon their first language, have a better chance of getting this correctly.
All right. So let's spill the beans. Tell us what's going on here.
Okay. So let's just follow the logic of it. Aside from gay couples, which messes the whole thing up, but aside from that, people have two parents, one male, one female. So who's the surgeon?
The female. The female is the surgeon.
Yeah. Well, why is that? This is such a problem to like 99% of people. The problem is that in English, the word surgeon has a default meaning. It's a man. But nobody taught you that. You know, you don't think that. You don't say, "Oh, the male surgeon walked in." You know, you just when you hear the word surgeon, you see man, and it's probably not a bad assumption. Probably what 90%? I don't know what percentages of surgeons are probably men, but in any given instance, you have to ask. So the whole thing rests on an unconscious assumption made by your language machine that when I used the word surgeon, that you saw a man walking into that room and never questioned that, and therefore all these conundrums. Who could it be? You know, instant reincarnation or gay couples. Like I say, that screws everything up.
we love the gay couples out there, and we're trying to get more female surgeons. So, you know, everyone out there.
Working on all these things.
Working on all that. But that's really interesting. I mean, you've stumped people here, and it is true. We have this subconscious association with certain industries and certain individuals, and we just don't question it.
Well, we've got tons of unconscious assumptions that are coded in our language machine. That's the point. That's a sort of trivial one. I mean, really, in any real circumstance, that probably wouldn't arise. You know, it's a simple one. There are some far more subtle ones, the five stupidities, for instance, that aren't quite so obvious, that are just as wrong by putting unconscious assumptions on our thinking, and then for limiting our abilities to evaluate things and take actions.
Heron, are there languages, as far as you know, that are more specific?
No, I don't know. I mean, I've studied a number of languages, and there are a lot of them who don't even well, we'll get into that in a second. But no, I think probably English, it appears that English is taking over the planet. Whether you know, it's certainly not a perfect language, but there's something about English that has led to its dominance. And so that's why I'm interested in cleaning it up. If I could find a better one, it would be interesting to study it, but I don't think I don't think it's going to make much difference. It looks to me like English is, well, actually, I don't even call it English. I prefer to call it Earthling now. It's the planetary language. And yeah.
Interesting.
All right, so let's dive into it. The first stupidity of the English language, and when I had heard you talk about this before, it was fun where you actually were trying to have people guess what it is, correct?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what we're going to do.
All right, let's rock and roll. Yeah.
What is, for everybody, and I'll even give you an extra hint, what is the most dangerous three-letter word in the English language?
Mm, okay, Kevin, what's your guess?
Wow.
That's a pass. That's a pass, okay?
F.
Ashwan, what is it?
F.
F?
Yeah.
No, it's a three-letter word.
Oh.
Okay, so that's a pass. Dash?
Sin.
Sin. Ooh, that's a good try, but no. That's more literal. All right, so the most dangerous word of the English language. It's a three-letter word. What do you think, Kevin? Oh, Dash, jump in.
The?
Yes!
Oh,
the,
darn.
The, look, they're doing high fives. Everybody's doing a dance in here. She's all excited about it. Yeah.
You know, I think it's getting, the thing is, one of the things is the linguistic environment of the world is changing rapidly these days. And 30 years ago, a lot of this stuff was just beyond most people's comprehension. Most of the stuff I talk about today is like, yeah. So, things have changed a lot in the last couple of decades.
Can I, Dash, why did you say the? I mean, it's a good, you know, three
that's,
letters.
Well, that's the answer.
That's
Kevin, you don't even get it. That's the answer. The most dangerous word in the English language is.
Yeah, but good question. The. Why? How is it that she picked up on that?
Well, she is an English guru. Well, let's hear it. What do you, Dash, why was that your answer?
Well, I really love studying the slippage and the play of the English language, and I noticed the plucti of the being repeated twice, and that it was a signifier of the key of the riddle.
Oh, so she's looking into the riddle. This is good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, tell
us. And I call it I call them the five stupidities of English. Now the question is that really it? Are there only five? or maybe not.
So let's dig into this. Why is the or the
well,
word the?
That's a perfectly good question. What is wrong with the word the? What is it? Why would I say that's the most dangerous word in the language?
Pray tell.
Anybody got a clue on that? Why? What's wrong with the?
Okay, yeah, Dash, you are our industry expert here because you are studying English language here at UCI. No Googling. No Googling.
Okay, I'm just kidding. Actually.
So, do you have any instinctual thoughts on why? Grab the microphone there.
So, these seems like it's very confining. It clearly defines where it seems like it clearly defines where the boundaries of a term begin and end, but really there are no boundaries in the English language because or in any language because meaning itself is just it's such a slippery thing that derives context from your internal dialogue, as you were saying before. Your internal language really determines where what you think of as the boundaries of, say, a term that's defined that you think is defined by the. Anyway, that's just maybe an initial thought.
Okay, our brains are spinning right now. This is great.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me. Do this here. Look, if I tell you to go into the next room and get me the green chair, how many green chairs do you expect to find in the other room?
One.
Ron, I didn't say get me a green chair. I said get me the green chair. So that tells you there is only one. But the question is, how often is that actually true? What if I ask you, what's the reason you're late today? Is there such a thing as the reason? I mean, there may be sometimes, but most of the time, there are lots of things that contribute to something happening. There is the idea of the answer. Let me ask you this. 1 plus 1 equals 2. Is 2 the answer to 1 plus 1?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it? Wait.
Think about it again.
Ashwan, is 1 plus 1, or is the answer to 1 plus 1, 2?
Yes.
Okay. Dash, what do you think?
This is a tough one coming from the daughter of a math professor.
Ooh.
Okay. You got the two sides of me just like fighting here. But I would say if you're talking from a language standpoint, then really it would depend on the situation in which this thing is being applied. But if you're talking about like abstract numbers, then yes, there is such a thing as 1 plus 1 equaling 2, and I will always say that.
Okay. Hiran, what do you think?
I think the answer is wrong. No, it's not the answer. First of all, there can be right answers and wrong answers, but it's not even the right answer, okay? And depends on whether you're operating, you know, the base system you're operating. In binary, 1 plus 1 equals 10. So 1 plus 1 equals 2 is true, is the answer, if you're operating in any base above 1. Other than that, there's an assumption underlying that you're operating in base 10, which is a fairly safe assumption in most cases, but is certainly not in any abstract or philosophical sense the truth. 1 plus 1 equals true, 2 is true in any base above 2.
But in a language, of programming language, like a binary coding, ones and zeros, it's different, right?
Yeah, 1 plus 1 equals 10 in binary.
Hmm. So the point, I think there's a great illustration, because we have these inherent truths inside of us. 1 plus 1 is 2, confidently, yes, no matter what. But if you think about it, the answer isn't the answer, it's an answer. And that's really
that's
the difference, right?
And it's the answer if you're operating in anything above base 2. I mean, there are I'm not saying the is always wrong. And tell you, the first time I ever recognized that I had actually reprogrammed my own language machine, I was talking to a guy years ago. I'm a boxing fan, and Sugar Ray Leonard was a hot deal boxer a few decades ago. Mm-hmm. And he retired because he had a detached retina. And then he had surgery on it, and he came back and started boxing again. And I was talking with somebody, and I actually heard myself say that it was really a bad idea for him to start boxing again, because it's quite possible that, you know, that he could get a detached retina in another eye. And that's what came out of my mouth. See, the standard, the default in English is the in almost every case. I mean, it sounds weird to, you can't walk up to somebody and say, well, what's a reason you know, or what's an answer to this problem, or, you know, it doesn't sound right. In English, the is the default word for all sorts of situations, and it's just plain wrong and unnecessarily limiting in about, well, my studies indicate it's wrong about 94% of the time. That most of the time, when you see the word the, if you cross it out altogether or replace it with a or an, you'll be far closer to any kind of reasonable analysis.
Everybody's sitting here silently kind of like nodding their heads like, wow, okay. So let's hear some other examples about the use of the word the and how it maybe is incorrect.
How many times have you heard people tell you, well, that's just the way it is?
Yeah, that's just what people say.
Is that the way it
the
is,
way it
or
is
that a way of thinking about it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, if it's your boss telling you that, well, I mean, sometimes you're in a position to decide what way it is, okay? But still, that doesn't make the language any more precise. You can always just say, that's the way I say we're going to do it.
And there is a truth to that, because there's a singular point. Well, what about the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Ah, yes. Good. Well, you're doing great. Keep going.
Okay, well,
yeah,
I mean,
this is common. That's why I say it's the most. Essentially, the is the most common word in English. It accounts for about 7% of all printed text.
Wow.
7%. The. And it's wrong, by my calculations, about 90% of the time. And in your language machine every day, you're probably, you know, your language machine is running probably 10,000 to 100,000 words. Some people are more verbal than others, through your language machine every day. And most people, of course, are mistaken and think that they are doing it, and therefore they believe everything they hear their language machine say. And if their language machine feeds up the, then they buy it.
Interesting.
So you got hundreds of statements every day running subconsciously through your language machine with the word the in them. In almost, 90% of the cases, it's limiting the possibilities and leading you to think you're in some sort of simplistic world where, there's one cause or one answer or so on. And if you think about it, if you dismiss the first answer you come up with to a problem, often the first one is not the most interesting or, deep answer. The first answers we get are often really pretty insignificant and obvious and sort of trite. But if we mistake the first answer we come up with the answer, then we stop looking. There's no need to look any further. It may be an adequate answer, but it may not be a great answer.
This is really interesting. So this is funny. I've got a good amount of Twitter conversations going on right now, and I'll let you know a couple of them. So I put out, what is the most dangerous three-letter word? And somebody said that they thought it was WTF, so that was kind of funny. and somebody else said... Let me hear say, when I told everybody it was the S-W-A-S-A-N, Swanson, she said, I disagree and say it's why. Lots of actions become routine, but when put on the spot to justify, suddenly it gets hard. So it's interesting. But
that's not a bad thing. That's not a danger. That's a good thing.
Okay, I'm going to tweet her back. That is not a bad thing. That is a good thing.
Well, can she hear? She's tweeting, no, she must be listening, right?
Well, people are listening. People are following and Twitter the conversation on Twitter, and then I'm telling them to join on. So we also had a really nice comment. Let's see. Thor Quinton, who I believe is listening, said, this is a brilliant observation. Got to make sure that you're translating the right language first. Communication is key. So this is good. This conversation is going out on Twitter. People are interacting, and it's really something powerful to think about because... As you start to listen for your own use of the word the or a word the, you start to
No,
think
you can
about
talk about the word the.
See, you can say
the is not, it's only wrong 90% of the time. Occasionally, it's okay.
Right. So if I were to say the truth, there's a lot of problems with that.
Yeah, because
this is
lots
not,
of truth.
And this probably plays a lot into dogma and just different ways of thinking and propaganda, especially when it comes to online. You have people that make bold statements and they say, this is the way it's going to happen, or this is the something.
Oh, yeah. Listen, look at any advertising. The is their primary staple. We've got the answer to your problem.
Right. And it's really
not good enough to just have an answer.
Right. But get our deodorant. It is a solution to your stinky armpits.
Yeah, no, that doesn't sound good at all.
Right. So
the thing is that this stuff is... It just sounds weird to say. Actually, if anyone out, just say out loud, what's an explanation for this? Just say it out loud.
Let me try. What's an explanation for this?
To say it though, like in normal, like what's an explanation for this?
So Kevin,
the thing is that it almost sticks in your throat.
All right. Okay. So Kevin, I'm going to try it here. Actually, Ashwan, ask Kevin what is an explanation for this.
What's an explanation for this?
Okay. Well, you kind of got stuck there, and he's laughing now, right? Or versus what's the explanation? What's the explanation?
That just sounds right. It just sounds weird to not have the in there because that's the way we've always heard it from the moment we were from before. We actually hear language in the womb. So by the time we're born, we're already well on our way to being an English or a Japanese speaker or whatever. So,
Wow, this is I could geek out on this forever. And so when it comes to your social media posts, here's the challenge. look for your use of the word the and see if it can be replaced by either a or an. And for those of you who don't,
or you may have to actually sometimes you can't replace it with a or an. Most of the time you can, but often you can leave it off entirely, or you may have to rewrite the damn sentence. Sorry, but sometimes you just have to start over again.
Gotcha.
The damn sentence.
A damn sentence, right? This is interesting, and I find that once I become cognizant of something in my language, I start to recognize it. And for me, I'm a big fan of helping people get rid of their filler words. So, but, you know, likes, especially when it's like, so, you know, like three or four of them together, you don't realize it, but we probably are still just as unconsciously using the word the, and I encourage people to get their friends to call them on saying the filler words. So what is the trick here? Because we want to use it correctly.
Well, the trick here is to listen to other people first. It's easier to notice in other people than it is in yourself. Reprogramming your own language machine takes a little while and some sophistication, but it's easy. My sense is that if you listen to anybody on YouTube that you don't like, Alex Jones might be a good place to start, or, you know, it doesn't really make any difference. I'll probably offend a bunch of people just there, but in any case, if there's someone you don't like, listen to them, because it's easier to hear "thes" coming out of people you don't like.
Okay, so here,
and then when you get good at hearing it in other people, then what happens is you begin to notice it coming out of your own mouth. That's when you've made it. When you start noticing it, when you say something and then you go, "Oh, wait a minute, no." That's a reason I did it. It's not the reason I did it. First start by listening to other people, especially people you don't like. and then, like I say, after doing that for a while, and this stuff, see, that's the other thing. I had some second thoughts about even coming on here. Knowing this stuff doesn't really make any difference. You can know all about this stuff, but it, unless you actually reprogram your language machine so that you start hearing it and changing it, then it's just another bit of information that you've accumulated that has no impact. So, and the word "the" is such a great place to start because it's so rampant. You know, it's everywhere. So if you have any interest in reprogramming your language machine, you can start by listening to the way people use the word "the," or just being sort of acutely aware of it, so that when you hear it, it triggers a response.
And from a social media standpoint, you can read other people's posts. Now, I was just tweeting while you were talking about it, because somebody said, "Wow, this is really interesting." And I replied to that tweet and I said, "Yeah, join the conversation." And I stopped and I went, "Join a conversation that is happening right now." Like, I just caught myself saying that.
Okay, so let's examine that.
Okay.
What do you think it should be?
Let's see.
In this case, in a real, not in the abstract, in that case.
Join in on, well, Dash, she's got her hand up. Here you go. Dash, what do you think?
Perhaps join our conversation. Be specific, but not using
there you
the.
Go. Yeah. There you go. You can just change the wording completely. Yeah.
So,
I would say "the" is not inappropriate in that case. It has a clear, we're talking about this conversation.
Right. Join the conversation. Gotcha.
Yeah. Joining a conversation would be inviting him to join any damn conversation anywhere, which he certainly is welcome to do, but that's not your intention.
I love it.
So, in this case, the word "the" would not be inappropriate.
Whew, I'm getting all frazzled by my brain. Like, I definitely feel like my brain is doing push-ups right now.
Well, let me throw in another thing here, because I put this in the thing I sent to you, that text, about the voice in your head is not something you are doing. It's something happening to you. There's no time. I mean, when you look at the complexity of language and what it takes to just make a simple utterance like "I'm hungry," there's all sorts of stuff about, you know, controlling muscles and picking the right words and getting the larynx in the right position. And there's all this stuff going on that there's no time for you to consciously do any of that stuff. The language machine feeds, I mean, its job is to take your sense data and turn it into a story and feed it to you. And But the problem is we've all been trained that the voice in my head is me, that I said that. I mean, because that's the way we say things in English. We don't. I've never heard anybody say, well, then my language machine said this, and then his language machine said that. But that's actually far more accurate. There isn't time for me to organize and construct and, linguistic statements. They're just, it's way too complex. It's all handled by a set of automatic programming routines.
Wow, look at this. We have we have Cynthia McKee who just said, this is one of my favorite shows so far. Anne implies possibilities. In my opinion, Anne is used more in science. So think about the science implications of this, right?
Listen, I see it. This goes on in science. I read a lot of science. That's a big part of my life. This is a major problem. I mean, they keep talking about it. They finally found the reason that something, some disease, you know, they found the cause for it.
Right. Everybody's looking for the cure to cancer when it's a cure, right?
Yeah. Well, there may be 35 cures for cancer. Right. Depending upon the kind of cancer, blah, blah, on and on and on. It just colors just every aspect of our existence, and especially the problem being that we are really literally entranced by the voice in our head. We think it's something I is doing. But it's not. It's something happening to me. I have the opportunity to listen to it, edit it, decide whether it makes any sense or not. But most people accept whatever comes out of their mouth as their truth, the way it really is. That's literally a kind of insanity. I would say probably 95% of people on the planet literally are under the spell of the voice in their head 95% of the time.
Wow. Okay, so we're jumping back to Twitter here. We've got Biolinguista said, hey, at Ryan Folland, my engineer said that 10 in binary is read as 2. So the answer is still 2. People are still getting caught up on this question.
No, you have to get a difference between number or difference between quantity and number. The quantity is the same, but it's not 2. Well, you can call it whatever you want. It's written as a 10, and it would be silly to call it 2 because it's not 2. Again, the quantity is the same.
Okay, but, so how do I put this together in a tweet? I was going to say he says you have to understand. So, I'm going to tweet late. I just came up with a new word.
Come up with it later. I'd have to really think about how to respond to that, and it would probably take longer than we have here.
Okay, that's fine. Well, I'm gonna say he will get back to me, and I will answer. In a bit.
tomorrow.
He will give you an answer or a answer, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so
that's
I'm
right.
going to put...
I can imagine many answers to that.
Well, I think this is really fascinating. We have about, 15, 20 minutes left on the show here. Let's blast through some of these other four English stupidities, because I believe we could talk for 3 days on this topic here.
Yeah, easily. Let me go to, there are a couple that are relatively simple. Absolutes is one of them. All, never, nothing, everyone, everybody, always. I've heard, I just hear this all the time. He always does that. Well, no, he doesn't always do it. He probably does it a lot. But always, sometimes that's true. But most real-life situations, absolutes are just wrong. They simply don't apply, but they make us feel good. He's always been like that. No, he hasn't.
Right.
So, actually, the word "the" is so important that the other ones almost pale in comparison to it. But absolutes, all, never, always, no, as opposed to, some people or sometimes. It's just. The only time there are situations that refer to things out in the world, scientific kind of things you're studying, and there are things that refer to ideas. Like in math, absolutes works in some cases. It works a lot. It works well. I'm trying to think of, if you say, all quadrupeds have four legs, well, duh. That's the definition, you right. know, unless, of course, it has three, but then it's not a quadruped. So there are cases where absolutes are okay and proper, in fact, necessary, but very rare. I'd say probably 5% of the times we hear absolutes, they're wrong. They're just propaganda.
This is an interesting concept for public speaking that I talk with people about all the time, especially startups. And here's the line of questioning I go through, and I'll just do a little role-playing with you.
Yeah.
Have you ever jumped out of an airplane?
Nope.
Okay, if you did, would you want to jump out of the airplane with a circular parachute or with a horizontal parachute?
Well, I'm not really quite sure what a horizontal parachute is, so I couldn't.
A rectangular. Let's go back. A rectangular. So circular or rectangular?
Yeah, my opinion about that is irrelevant because I don't know anything. I have no information to make that choice.
That's
so
okay.
I'm more familiar with circular ones, so I'll go with that.
Okay, so the challenge with circular ones is that you really have no control over where you land.
Ah, that's right.
It's
that's
circular.
A good point.
So
yeah.
World War II, you'd get dropped off and you happen to end up in a tree.
You ended up where you ended up.
But the thing is,
that's a good one.
Yeah, but with a rectangular, I mean, Elvis can land on the 50-yard line no matter what.
That's right. Yeah, that's a good point. Okay.
So I talk about using extreme or absolutes in terms of parachutes because when you say, you know, my product is for everyone, it's a generalization, and it's like a circular parachute in someone's brain. You have no idea what anyone means to them, or they immediately go, nope, that's not true, right? And so I always say, use your words in a way like they're a rectangular parachute, where you can actually lead into somebody's head, not get caught up on a tree, and land exactly where you want. So I think, you know, I talk about that all the time, the parachute theory, but this is an interesting, it is part of the English stupidity of absolutes.
Yeah, it's just one. It's a minor one. I mean, well, it's not a minor. It has huge repercussions. I mean, if you listen to almost any argument, especially when people are really pissed, you know, you listen to them, and what you hear are all of the five stupidities, one after another, all strung together. It's just scary as hell.
Okay, so the stupidity number one, to recap, and everybody, you're listening here to Ginger MC on KUCI-FM. You can follow us on Twitter, at KUCI-FM, on Instagram, at KUCI-FM, Tumblr, and Facebook, so show some love there. You can find me on Twitter, at Ryan Foland. We've got a lot of people that are tweeting and then listening, so if you're listening, jump on and start tweeting. And we're here talking with Heron about...
Heron,
about like a blue heron. Like a blue heron. We're talking with Heron about English stupidities and the fact that the conversation really starts in your head as your language machine puts together in an instant, coordinating all of the autonomy that comes with your larynx and voice to put out. You don't even really know what you're going to say until you say it. But when we say certain words, there are fallacies. And the first one we talked about was the word the. Using the assumes that there is only one. And if it has any other options, you should look at replacing it with an A or an an, depending on if the next word starts with a vowel. So that's the most dangerous word. We had a lot of other people chirp up, but that's what we're sticking with because you can miscommunicate so quickly. The second one we're talking about right now is absolutes. The fact that Ryan is always high energy. I'm not. I get very tired a lot, okay? Let's jump to the third. What is the third?
Well, there is no really ordinal rating of these things, that's just so common. But one of the other ones, which is dearest to my heart and probably the second most violated, is called reification. And you can look that up in... Wikipedia for a full explanation of it.
Hang on a second because we have somebody calling in. This is going to be interesting. I'm going to check this out. Hello, this is Ryan.
Cool.
Okay, hold on one second. Hang on. So we got a question. Would you announce yourself so we know that you're a real person and not a robot?
Yeah, I'm Samantha.
Hey, Samantha. So,
hi, Samantha.
So, Samantha, you got a question for us.
Yes. My question is, why can't 1 plus 1 equal 11?
Well, if you're playing that game, it can.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like if you put two of them together, like one and one. So, Samantha, our whole idea is that 1 plus 1 doesn't always equal two, and that's kind of the brain stumper, and you have just taken
it
to a new level.
See, again, the quantity is the same. It's invariable no matter what base system, but what you call it changes.
So it could be...
So it could be 11.
Well, if that's what you mean by 1 plus 1. If you, yeah, if you mean... If what you mean by plus means to take one number 1 and take another number 1 and put it next to it and then call that 11, I've got no quarrel with that. That's just a different use of plus.
Yeah, see, we've got a problem with people that say, you know what, 1 plus 1 equals 2. That's it. That is the answer. And we're saying, no, it's not the answer.
It is the correct answer. Okay. You know, most of the time, most people don't operate in binary.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, that's sort of a technical thing there. I mean, it's, you know, that's not a problem in most situations.
Samantha, are you an artist by chance?
I used to have a radio show at KUCI, but I don't know if I'm quite an artist.
There you go, but it makes me think that you're an artist to think of, like, the number one as an image and then the other number one and, like, thinking of it creatively. And I think that the use of language can really unlock that creativity. If you think that there is... I mean, I just watched Hidden Figures recently, and that's an amazing tribute to... They're literally trying to find something that doesn't exist, and so you have to think creatively. You have to think outside of it. Like, if somebody says, this is the way that we're doing it, it's like, that's going to stop a lot of people from innovation. And so the danger of the word the, I believe, is limiting people's creativity in a new way to look at 1 plus 1. Because forever now, Samantha, you have traumatized me. 1 plus 1 could be 11, thanks to you.
Yay! I hope that's not trauma and that's inspiration instead.
There you go. That's cool. Much better way to put it.
Well, hey, Samantha, you're welcome to stay on the line because we're talking about not the next one, but another stupidity.
Yes, very good.
All right, so what do we have here? What is number... what is a... I'm, like, stumbling over it. What is another stupidity?
Well, I mentioned the word reification, and I would recommend that anyone who's interested go to Wikipedia and look up reification, R-E-I-F, and you can find the rest of it. Yeah, this is a sort of hard one to explain without certain...
Hold on. I'm going to read it straight from Google to help you out. Reification is making something real, bringing something into being, or making something concrete. Reification may also refer to some sort of psychology, the perception of an object having more spatial information than is present. That's straight up from Google. Is that correct?
Yeah, not very helpful, though. let me give you an example. The nouns, this has to do with the noun structure of English. We've got parts of speech, you know, verbs, nouns, adjectives, all those things. And now, if I ask you what a noun is, well, tell me, what is a noun? You guys all know the same
person,
set
place,
of
or
words.
Thing.
A noun is a...
Person, place, or thing. Person,
right,
place, or thing.
There you go. A ding, person, ding, ding. Place, or thing. Well, what about nouns like love, dignity, happiness, inequality, democracy? What are those?
Everyone always forgets the ideas. That's that fourth thing.
Well, an idea is one way to call it. What they are is relationships between things. You have words that refer to things, and then you have, and by thing I mean something available to the senses for inspection, okay, like a pen or a monitor or a rug or a planet for that matter. Those are things. But love, dignity, happiness, and freedom are not things. They are relationships between things, and it's an entirely different universe when you're talking about that. Those
They're
words
also subjective.
I'm sorry, what?
They're also subjective.
There's not even a there. There, you know, we talk about they are. There is no such thing as love or dignity or freedom or justice. Those are not things. There is no such thing as abundance. Okay, those words are different. The problem is that English needs another part of speech for these reifications. They need to be separate because they... Well, let me just read you something here, okay? This is if you do a search on the web for the wisdom machine, you should find this little page that I put up. And so, I've never done this just with voice, but I think this will work. This is just a short paragraph that this page generated for me. There is no coherence without stimulation. The time fast approaches when simplicity will no longer be able to withstand the forces of analysis. Until now, people have been content with mere expansion. But now we must move beyond liberation to desolation. For we must always remember that the fundamental force behind happiness is not equality, but culture. And of course, we all know that the convergence of resistance and individuality leads inevitably to greater discovery. The age of truth has arrived. Which side are you on?
Wow.
I mean, you could argue with that, you know, or you might like it, or you might not like it, or you might think it's a little vague. But in fact, there are a bunch of words, there's like 16 words in there that are words like coherence, stimulation, simplicity, analysis, expansion, liberation, desolation, happiness, equality, culture, discovery, resistance, individuality, and truth that are not things. Those words could mean any damn thing you want them to mean. And in order to use those kind, and I'm not saying these words are useless. I'm just saying that if we're going to use these highly abstract concepts, then we need to tie them up to something that gives them some meaning. Because in their present state, this statement is meaningless.
Yeah, there's a lot for interpretation.
Can I read you another one? Because this thing generates. It'll only take a second, but it'd show you what I'm talking about.
Okay, well, we have just a couple minutes left, so let's do this, and then I still...
Okay, and then
we'll touch on the other two.
Some of the other ones, okay. Probably.
Well, we'll just tell people what they are. We'll just tell people what they are. So, real quick, before we read this
thing... Well, this is just another one. You'll see it has the exact same format. There is no passion without experimentation. The time fast approaches when humor will no longer be able to withstand the forces of life. Until now, people have been content with mere tradition. But we must move beyond ambiguity to comfort. For we must always remember that the fundamental force behind control is not tolerance, but sensitivity. And of course, we all know that the convergence of stimulation and novelty leads inevitably to greater good. The age of logic has arrived. Which side are you on?
So that sounds like the worst Facebook post ever that would probably spark
but
more conversation.
Sounds, if you read it in a book, you might think it actually means something and might try to figure out what it means. But any meaning you can get out of that is completely supplied by your own definitions for those words.
Gotcha.
It may or may not have anything to do with the writer's intentions.
Wow, I love it. So, Heron, we've got just about a minute left or so to transition to our next show. But let's cover real quickly. So we have the... which is a dangerous word. We have the... I just used the right there. okay.
You're already infected.
I'm conscious. Yes, I'm infected. The second one is about extremes or sort of absolutes. The third one is reification, which is this mystery noun. Tell us just real quickly, like as in what they are, so people can find out what the other two.
Well, again, it's not going to make much difference. One of them is two-valued logic, dualism.
Okay, what's the other one?
Well, you know, and then the last one is the verb to be, and I'm not even going to go into that. I really ought to just talk about the four stupidities, because any 8-year-old can understand the first four. The verb to be requires a little more sophistication. I would suggest that anyone interested in that one should look on Wikipedia for E-prime, which is basically English minus the verb to be, and what happens when you eliminate the verb to be.
All right, well, you know what? This has been amazing. I've had a lot of fun. We should definitely continue conversation. Maybe we'll have you back as like a language expert, and we'll analyze some famous people's tweets and quotes and Facebook posts. That'll be fun. So, hey, we really appreciate it. Everybody who's participating on Twitter, that was a lot of fun. Samantha, thank you so much for calling in. We had a great time. Be careful of those dangerous words. Try to not say the word the or start to figure out what that means for
and
you.
Don't believe everything you hear your language machine say.
Exactly. All right. Don't believe everything you hear that your language machine says. Everybody on the count of three, say goodbye, farewell, we'll see you soon. 1, 2, 3.
Goodbye.
Farewell.
We'll see you soon.
This is GJ Ginger MC out.
Sweat under the rug, I had never the one who bled enough to fix this wound. friend of the visible, hanging from a starborn wolf pack, sheep turned butterfly, dead flower, shower with a mind full of paint to give praise and thanks to my mother, my father, forever making the decision to bring another voice to a choir that could already sing. It's no surprise when living the dream, I get so sick of feeling high, it gives me reason to sing. The same reason why the mystery stings, and why the man on the corner's got a trick up his sleeve. For every panhandle daughter knows the prince of the thieves. I'ma stand here as long as it could take him to leave. Please, I've spent a lot of time manning up to have it back. What I miss, I was young and loved enough to channel that. Right here, right now, everything is picture perfect clear. Somehow, right here, right now, everything is picture perfect clear. Somehow, right here, right now, right here, right now. Your dream is on the rise, I can see it in your eyes. If there's sky, then you can make it. If there's sky, then you can make it. Your dream is on the rise, on the rise. I can see it in your eyes. If there's sky,
I was digging that song, so I left it on. This is DJ Ginger MC letting you know if you liked this show and want to find more, it's easy. All you have to do is go to getnotified.kuci.org. We'll see you on the flip side. DJ Ginger MC, out.